called to order. The meeting is called to order. Trustee Bryson, would you lead us in the pledge?
As we think of people fighting for the liberty and the chance to speak freely, we say in gratitude, I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
CUSD staff, parents, and community members, thank you for joining us this evening. We appreciate your attendance at tonight's meeting. As you are well aware, the decisions facing us this evening with regard to the budget will be challenging. Out of respect for all in the audience this evening, a quick reminder regarding decorum at meetings per bylaw 9323 will be reviewed. We will be limiting public comment on each agenda to 20 minutes. Oral communications will be limited to one person per minute. In an effort to hear as many people as possible, we encourage audience members to raise hands in support of speakers and refrain from speaking from the audience. If you are not able to address the board in person, we encourage you to submit comments to the trustees via our website. As another reminder, once the oral communication portion of the meeting has begun, we will no longer accept blue cards for speaking. Likewise, once we have opened the agenda item to public comment, no additional blue cards will be accepted for that topic. Just keeps things moving along. We thank you in advance for your understanding and participating in this evening's meeting. We have a roll call, please. Oh, I beg your pardon. Motion, consideration, and adoption of the agenda. Do we have a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Okay. Roll call. Ms. Bowes. Trustee Christensen will be joining us from Ogden, Utah, via the telephone. He is here this evening.
President Adonisio.
Here.
Vice President Mike Winston.
Here.
Trustee Larry Christensen.
Here.
Trustee Brick.
Here.
Trustee Bryson.
Here.
Trustee Lopez Maddox.
Here.
Trustee Palazzo.
Here. I have to remind you, please, this is a business meeting, and we need to be very quiet. I know there's a lot of room for conversation and a lot of, you know, topics going around. If you do start a conversation, we ask you to step outside because we need to get the meeting moving along, and we can't be heard. Okay, thank you. Closed session, reporting out on closed sessions. With regard to item 35A1 and A9, the board voted 5-0 with Maddox and Christensen absent to accept the recommendation of staff on student expulsions. With regard to agenda item 35A2 through A8 and A10 through A12, the board voted 5-0 with Maddox and Christensen absent to accept staff recommendation on stipulated student expulsions. With regard to item 35D, conference with Chief Labor Negotiator, Ms. Naomi Suwanaka stood in for Mr. John Radjic as the Chief Labor Negotiator. Agenda item 35F, public employee appointment. The board is pleased to announce that as high school assistant principal, Mr. Sean McNamara is assigned to the Tesoro High School, and we welcome him and wish him great luck and happiness at that high school. That was a 6-0 with Mr. Christensen absent. We move now to special recognitions. Ms. Hatchell.
President Adonisio, members of the board, and Superintendent Mahler, welcome to your first official board meeting. This evening, it is a pleasure to recognize two of Capitol Valley High School's outstanding varsity sports teams who took the CIF championships in their division. First, I would like to invite the members of the boys' swim team and their head coach, Steve Yancey, to come forward. That would be great. President Adonisio, if you'd like to come forward to recognize the team with me, that would be great. Members of the Varsity Cougar team with us here tonight are Brock Redondo, Logan Redondo, Jason Dolan, Joey Ferrari, Michael Gonzalez, Chris Colgan, Tyler Deshawn, Scott Burbach, Chad Farnan, and Spencer Goodman. The CVHS boys swim team stepped up in an epic night of swimming and won the 2009 Division I CIF Southern Section Swimming and Diving Championships after an incredible undefeated season. The perseverance, sportsmanship, and teamwork of these Cougars are to be commended. In addition, Coach Yancey was selected as the 2009 All-County Boys Swim Coach of the Year by OC Varsity. Brock, Spencer, Lucas, Tyler, and Chris were also selected to the All-County Boys Swimming Second Team. Congratulations on your victory, Cougars, and for your fine representation of Capistrano and Crest School District. Next, we would like to recognize yet another fabulous Cougar team, the CVHS varsity baseball team, coached by Bob Zamora and assistant coach Richard Allwinder. Coaches and athletic director Christy Curtis, will you please come forward? Of the team with us tonight include Eric Hines, Lee Casas, Eddie DuPont, and Brandon Brennan. On Saturday, June 6th, the CVHS baseball team won their sixth CIF championship at Angel Stadium, defeating the Edison High School Chargers, one of my own rivals when I was in high school. Capo Baseball is also ranked number one in the nation, the first in its history. Coaches credit the team's success to the best defense they've ever had the pleasure to work with, along with great teamwork and incredible skill. The Cougars also bragged an 11th pick overall in the first round of the Major League Baseball draft. Congratulations to Tyler Matzik, who will be playing for the Colorado Rockies next year. Please let Tyler know he owes his old elementary school principal an autograph before he leaves. Congratulations, Cougars, on your outstanding achievement, and thank you. We are very, very proud of you.
That concludes our special recognitions. We have a word now from our new superintendent, Dr. Mahler.
Thank you. Thank you. We were expecting you. And we're very glad that you're here this evening to share your thoughts regarding the programs which you feel are important for young people, for our students here in Capistrano Unified School District. We hope that our meeting will move along today. We'll let our young people leave. Have fun, guys. Refreshing. We still have a number of young people in our audience, and it is for their sake that I hope that we are all able to model presenting our viewpoints in a manner that will make us proud of the democratic process. When I was present last board meeting, I'm sorry to say that I wasn't able to hear what was going on. And I really wanted to. I really needed to. And that's because of a buzz, you know, just sort of like neighbor talk. And believe it or not, those of you who are sitting like between, about five rows back and all in the middle, you may find it hard to hear. And it's important that you hear the views of other people and the programs that they're supporting. So if we could model our best civic behavior, if we could get the message across in a clear manner without sarcasm and without belittlement, it would be just wonderful, because often we lose the true content of what people have to say when we're so busy acting the part of someone who is upset or showing our emotions. I hope that you all had an opportunity to find one of these blue letters. I believe that we had over 200 of them distributed inside and outside. And it's a letter from myself. And I'll put it on the district web. I was trying to save you the monologue. I didn't think that you would want me to take that time this evening when I could write it. But what's important about this letter is a little notice at the bottom. And it says, next week, start checking your email for listserv messages regarding summer opportunities to meet and provide input related to district needs, priorities, and strategic planning. I have had some moms come in today. They were a delight to meet, and they offered to assist me in establishing locations for focus groups where we can start to identify what is important to our community for the board to utilize in its development of a strategic plan. Our district has not had a strategic plan to follow since one was written in the year 2000. It is time to move forward with a strategic plan and to represent all of you and to ensure that in the future that we can develop budgets and we can develop programs that are aligned with a strategic plan that establishes the criteria for decision making. And so with that, I welcome you this evening, and I'll turn the meeting back over to our president, Mrs. Adonisio, and we'll move forward. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Dr. Mahler. We begin now with our oral communications. We have 1 minute each. The first speaker, Andrea Schill, followed by Stacy Gutters and Kevin Kerwin. If you would move to the front here and speak to us from the podium. Ms. Schill, followed by Stacy Gutters and Mr. Kevin Kerwin. If I could ask that you state your name when you get to the podium.
Hello, good evening. My name is Andrea Schill, and I am a homeowner in the Pacifica San Juan community. Currently, the Pacifica San Juan community houses 10 children that attend the schools in the Capistrano Valley School District. The Melrose taxes that we have paid up till now equate to $27,000 per child. Starting in November, the board plans to collect over $46,000 per child, which nearly doubles the amount we have already paid. The Pacifica San Juan community wrote a letter inquiring that the board review these taxes for some level of fairness. 90 days later, on June 1st, we received a response from you stating that the $46,000 per child per year was fair, in your view. The four reasons cited in your staff's response were, Number one, you cannot afford, you cannot collect the fees you were owed from the now bankrupt developer, and now you're forcing the residents to pick up the burden. Sorry. Number two, the school needs money. Number three, we might complain when the tax is reinstated. And number four, their CFD districts may complain.
Thank you.
We're just asking that you review it for fairness. Thank you.
Stacy Gutters, followed by Kevin Kerwin and Ian Belderes.
Good evening.
Welcome.
Good evening. Thank you for allowing me to speak. My name is Stacy Groters, and I have worked in the district, but tonight I'm just speaking on behalf of my daughter, Lauren. I thought that it would be refreshing to hear a sentiment towards these wonderful teachers that we have in our district, and so I'm just here to read a letter that she wrote. Dear Mrs. Garcia, she's in second grade, I should say. Thank you so much for being my teacher this year. You are the most altruistic, caring, trustworthy, witty, and optimistic person teacher I've ever met. I think someday you will change lots of people's lives with the gift you have of teaching people scholarly things, being so generous in life, and other things that you do. I don't think I could name all of them. I never, ever want to leave you. I think if you leave me and I go on to third grade, I won't be able to gain all of the good knowledge that you taught me. I am very sad that you might go to a different school next year. Our school will be in big trouble without you here. I love you, Lauren.
Thank you. I got your email. Thank you. Kevin Kerwin, followed by Ian Balderas and Patricia McCauley.
Hi, my name is Kevin Kerwin. I'm a parent of two students in Kappa Unified. I'm here this evening to give you an update on the issue originally brought up at your May 11th board meeting, modifying the election of trustees by trustee area only. When the concept was brought up at that meeting, most of you seemed to agree that this change could be a good idea. So several who agreed that the time has come for modifying the election of trustees got together to discuss how we could get this issue off the ground. We have written and circulated a petition requesting that the Orange County Committee on School District Organization approve the proposal so that it can appear on a general election ballot. As you were informed in May, this is one of the ways the elections of trustees can be modified. According to the California Education Code, 750 signatures are needed on the petition. In the last week, at least 1,000 signatures have been gathered throughout the CUSD. Apparently, there is significant support for this issue.
Thank you. Ian Belderes, followed by Patricia McCauley and John Riddle.
Hello, my name is Ian Belderes. I am a homeowner in the Pacifica San Juan development, here addressing the fairness of the Melrose taxes that are assessed. And main point being that the majority of the funds are supposed to be going towards a $45 million bond, of which this bond has not been issued yet. This issue was brought to the board earlier a couple months ago, and the staff admits that there will not be a bond issued and until further development in the community is made. And as of right now, all the developers are bankrupt.
Thank you. Patricia McCauley, followed by John Riddle and Robert Johnson.
Good evening, trustees. Good evening, audience. Tonight is a sad day for CUSD. We're losing another one of our well-respected and well-loved administrative assistants and employees. The high quality of education, I'm going to read this because I'll forget what I'm supposed to be saying. The high quality of education CUSD provides and has always provided would not be possible without a highly skilled and highly dedicated team of teachers, administrators, and parents. Tonight we must say goodbye to a well-loved and respected member of that team, Shireen Smith. Shireen has earned the admiration of parents and the community at every level as a teacher, activities director at Dana Hills High School, principal at Aliso Niguel Middle School, as well as Capo Valley High School. and she leaves us as the Deputy Superintendent of Education. She is appreciated, well-loved, well-respected, adored. Shireen, there's not enough adjectives to describe what you've meant to the community. We appreciate you. We love you. And our loss is their gain. The plaque reads, with gratitude and appreciation to Shireen Smith for 23 years of service and dedication to the children of CUSD. Sincerely, the parents community of Capo Unified School District. Thank you.
John Riddle, followed by Robert Johnson and Kelly McClellan.
John Riddle. Board members, neighbors, San Juan Capistrano, Pacifica San Juan has collected approximately $300,000 in Belarus taxes. You've heard from a couple of our neighbors. I wanted to mention that we have 10 children. It will be raised to almost $500,000 in November. 10 children. 10 children represents what, one half, maybe one third of a classroom? My question is, does it take $500,000 to operate one third or one half of a classroom? We would like to request that you reconsider the Belarus taxes that are being levied against us. And we'd like to know when this can be resolved. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good evening. Hello, my name is Robert, and I'm also a homeowner in the community of Pacifica San Juan. I'm here today to make an impassioned plea to you, members of the board, and President Adonisio. We were promised a master plan community of over 400 homes, a community center, entry gates, and even a new pool, and even a new school. And this is what our tax levy was based on, over 400 homes. However, as you all well know, the housing and credit crisis and our overall poor economic situation has led the building in our community to an abrupt halt. We have no operational gates. We have no community center. In fact, even some of the community's roads and infrastructures have been abandoned and left unfinished. All the main players have abandoned our community, filing for a Chapter 11 bankruptcy protection, and have stated that they have no immediate plans to return to and to continue developing in our community. Lehman Brothers, the main financial backer, filed in September 2008. SunCal, John Lang Homes filed bankruptcy, followed. Surely these 10 additional children that you've heard about do not place a reasonable burden on the district necessary to justify the punishment of our community with a successive tax levy. Thus, I ask the board to do the only reasonable thing, and that is to re-examine and lower the Belarus tax rate for the community of Pacifica San Juan. Please. Thank you.
Thank you.
Members of the board, my name is Kelly McClellan. 2 years ago, I bought part of the American dream up on the hill in Pacifica San Juan, and like most of America, it's become the American nightmare. Housing values have fallen 30% to 40%. There's been a loss of jobs, loss of income. 2 people have lost their houses, and other people are in trouble. The builder, the developer, the Lehman Brothers, has all gone bankrupt, leaving our little community abandoned, a small enclave of homes surrounded by tumbleweed-choked dirt lots. And adding insult to injury is the Belarus tax. It's no longer tied to any justifiable basis. It's tied to a bond that the board has assured us has not and will not be issued. It's tied to a school that the board has assured us has not and will not be built. It's tied to an impact on a school district which anticipated 400 homes but actually is only 50 homes and only 10 children. That does not impact your school. It's tied to home values that are no longer valid in this world and economic market. We are underwater and we are struggling and we are drowning. We're asking you to please give us a break, suspend the Belarus until this community can get back on its feet. Thank you.
concludes our oral comments. We do have others who have indicated oral comments. They appear to be related to the budget, so I assume you wanted to speak with regard to the budget on that item. So we move now into our consent calendar. Items 1 through 20. Does any board member need to pull any of these items from number 1 through 20? Do we have a motion to approve?
I'd like to pull item number 12.
Anyone else?
I'd like to pull 11.
Do we have a motion to approve the consent calendar excluding items 11 and 12?
I so move.
I'll second.
Motion by Trustee Palazzo, seconded by Trustee Brick to approve the consent calendar 1 through 20 excluding items 11 and 12. A roll call, please, Ms. Bowes.
Trustee Brick.
Aye.
Trustee Bryson.
Aye.
Trustee Palazzo.
Aye.
Trustee Christensen.
Aye.
Trustee Lopez Maddox.
Aye.
Trustee Winston.
Aye.
Trustee Adonisio.
Aye. And so now we're pulling, we'll just do item 11 because it's in order. Trustee Winston, item number 11.
Thank you. This is an award of a response to request for qualifications for the ancillary health benefits. And the way I read the information provided to us is that the recommendation is for something, some bidder other than the low bidder. But the reason for going in that direction wasn't really explained. So that's my question to staff.
I'm going to ask Jeff Bristow to come forward as well, because he worked on this with us. Madam President, members of the board, Superintendent Mahler, what's before you this evening is a request for proposal for professional services. As stated in the government code, one of the criteria that isn't necessarily weighed or isn't necessarily required as it is with public contract code is the selection of a low bid. If you're doing a construction project or doing a public works contract, then you're required to select the low bidder. However, with professional services, the evaluation process is blind to the cost as we go through it on the committee that's evaluating the proposals. And then the cost information is prepared in the board agenda item as it comes forward to you. So as we evaluate those proposals, we're not considering the cost. What we're trying to do is find the firm that we feel is the best, most responsive match for the organization. So that would explain why we have recommended a firm that it may not necessarily be the lowest bid amongst those.
Can I ask quickly one question? What is the span of the bids that were received? This says would be $50,000. I'm just wondering what the... Am I looking at the right one? Yes. What was the span of the bids?
President Adonisio, if I recall correctly, three were at $50,000 and one was at $46,000, I believe.
Thank you.
That doesn't sound right. I think you might want to check the bid sheet that I was provided with. I think the low bid was more like 30. Can we confirm that?
44. The criteria that was used in the selection process is found on Exhibit C, page 139, and that's the summary score sheet that was prepared, summarizing the results of all of the committee members scoring on it.
Mr. Bristow going to address the question, or
what?
Apparently, you had a committee do some scoring, and there was probably conversation at that committee meeting. And I'm curious as to what the factors were for going in a direction other than the low bid.
The way the committee was structured, pairs of people evaluated the score sheets or the response to proposals separately, scored them.
You're okay, Mr. Winston.
Okay. And then they were brought together for a discussion of the scores once they had scored independently. We looked at and discussed the scoring from each one without seeing the cost or that part of it, which Mr. Libs explained. Subsequent to that, and based on what each of the teams had evaluated, two of the top bidders, or the two top bidders, were invited back, and we met with them, and they presented a proposal. They answered some questions that I believe were provided to, if not to you, we can certainly provide those to you. Questions were straightforward, and one of them involved a question that Trustee Bryson brought up at the last meeting, questions of conflict of interest and so on. The two responded favorably. One of them we felt, or the group felt, was superior, and that award was made, or the recommendation for award was made based on that. The financial piece came into play after the fact.
The perception I have of this contract is you're essentially going out to the marketplace to buy a commodity, this kind of insurance. And to me, when you're buying a commodity, you need to have a good overriding reason to not go with the low bidder, because you're otherwise encouraging our vendors to not come in trying to be the low bidder. And in this business, you certainly are. I'm seeing competition in the marketplace. I just renewed my own business's insurance for next year, and I had two companies bidding, and they jumped under each other, and I saved a bunch of money. So I'm curious, when you have only have four vendors applying, why you don't interview them all? Why do you make that initial cut to two? And that's not that many.
I believe that the scoring was fairly apparent why we rated those that way.
How much of a factor was this note that you have here in the memo about improper allegations of or allegations of improper practices?
Well, I think the trustees made it, you made it very clear that that was a very important issue, so it was important to us to get a proper response to that, and the two firms that we interviewed both responded to that question, and the recommendation is going forward to the firm that has indicated that they're not involved or were not involved in any of the litigation that was previously discussed by Trustee Bryson.
Well, I did a very quick Google search today and found out about a $45 million settlement that Mercer entered into a few weeks ago in Milwaukee for misadvising the city of Milwaukee on pension benefits. I found out about the fact that Mercer is a wholly owned subsidiary of Marsh, and that Mercer and Marsh settled an $850 million settlement on Wall Street a few years ago, a $70 million settlement in federal court in New Jersey a few years ago. So we have allegations here that may or may not amount to anything, but I think the arrows are going crosswise. So we toss that out. Can you articulate to me why Mercer is your preferred choice or the committee's preferred choice? The score sheet to me just seems so subjective. I think we really need to look into that.
Any evaluation process of professional services is going to boil down to some suggestions, some subjective criteria. I mean, there's really, it's not, we're not going by, because we're not going by the low bid as you do in public works contracting. There is a certain amount of subjectivity to that evaluation, and everybody that looks at it is going to look at it a little bit different.
Right. Here's why I'm bothered. To the extent that this board is right about having excluded Marsh from that one contract last month, Mercer is permeated with the same defects. Two of their high senior execs are on the Marsh board. These are easily available items of information that apparently were either not looked for or disregarded. I don't necessarily know that I have a lot of confidence in this recommendation. I prefer, when you buy commodities, to go low bid. It's my preference.
Would you?
Unless you can articulate some overriding reason not to. I haven't heard it yet.
Would you care to hold this item over for additional discussion and research with staff?
Is it going to pose a problem?
I do.
What's the timing?
It does not pose a problem to hold it over.
I move that we hold it over after hearing the information from Trustee Winston.
Excuse me.
I'll second it.
To make a suggestion, Mr. Winston.
Mr. Winston, I'd like to make a suggestion that in order to assist all of us related to various contracts and vetting our companies that we're looking at, if you could share with us criteria that you would like to see included in the process, then perhaps we can do a job that is more acceptable.
I'd be happy to sit down and talk with you and whoever on your staff wants to be part of that conversation, sure.
Thank you.
Thank you, Superintendent Mahler. So there is a motion on the floor to hold the item over. There is a motion to hold the item over by Trustee Bryson, seconded by Trustee Palazzo. Trustee Winston.
Jeff, what is the timing on making a decision on this item?
The timing is we would term our current consultant as of July 1. We would go without a consultant until we adopt us. Their job, what they do, doesn't really play into effect until we get to September and open enrollment. So we have a window of time that we can engage in this discussion.
Thank you.
Are we prepared to vote? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed?
We have to do a roll call when we're doing the teleconferencing for every vote.
Roll call, please, Ms. Bose.
Trustee Brick?
Aye.
Okay, Trustee Bryson?
Aye.
Trustee Palazzo?
Aye.
Trustee Christensen?
Aye.
Trustee Lopez Maddox?
Aye.
Trustee Winston?
Aye.
Trustee Attanasio?
Aye. The motion passes to hold item number 11 over for further review. Item number 12, Trustee Lopez Maddox.
It's a question of staff. Was Ultra Systems involved in the CEQA process relating to the elimination of bus services?
Yes, they were the consultant that prepared the negative declaration for that process.
I have some reservations regarding the performance of their work. I'm not real comfortable going forward with Ultra Systems, so if the board decides to go that way, I'll be voting no on the item. I'd like to find somebody that I perhaps have a little bit more confidence in to do this CEQA analysis.
Would you care to hold the item over?
I don't think there's any rush for the CNG facility.
It could be held over, but what we're doing is it's costing us money each month to run our buses up into Irvine to fuel them. What we're trying to do is get our CNG facility up and running at the Aliso Yard, and I lost my train of thought with the buzz. I'm sorry.
Pick another mode of travel.
The train will come around again.
Trying to get your buses up to snap up there in the Aliso facility.
Go ahead.
It's going to be a long night.
See if I can do this without a buzz. What we have right now on the table is our RFQ out for the environmental documentation that was recommended prior. We are scheduled to award that contract in August 10th at that board meeting. If we wait until August 10th to award that new contract to that new selected firm, it would put us back 2-3 months or so from now. And again, as Ron mentioned, there's a monthly cost associated with us transferring our buses to Irvine to fuel the CNG.
We did get
quotes from three separate firms and had conversations with them. We got quotes from Ultra Systems and what's the other one that we, the Planning Center, which are on our approved vendors list that have gone through this process, as well as the consultant that the city has kind of on retainer, so to speak, and talked to each of the firms, talked to them about their price, reviewed their proposals, and Ultra Systems ultimately in the end came back with the best price. This particular process we don't think is too technically involved, but we have run into some roadblocks with the city in trying to get this to be moved, trying to move this forward. And so that's, we initially thought we were going to be able to move it through without a consultant, but it became apparent they want us to do a full environmental review. And what we're really talking about is adding a compressor about the size of a large office desk to fuel our buses, to compress the natural gas, to fuel the compressed natural gas gas buses.
If I might, just a couple more questions. Just on the same, to follow up on what you just said, did the city articulate what their concern was?
Yes, they indicated they'd like an analysis done for the increased traffic, which there is no increased traffic, also air quality and noise as well, those three emphases.
Yeah, I mentioned this in an earlier meeting. The city manager has expressed some reservations to me at a community event about increased bus service, given the fact we closed down the South Bus Yard. So,
but interestingly enough, is our initial environmental documents that approved the site approved us up to 150 buses, is that correct? And we're only running somewhere in the neighborhood of 80. So we've provided that information to them as well, yet they still want us to go through this process.
Trustee Burson. Thank you, Madam Chair. Ron, is there any way that we can have a conversation with the individuals on the City Council? Because every incremental cost increase might remove the ability to keep a few more classes lower. So perhaps they could come to bat a little bit here for the parents and have a little concern about, since it was approved prior, why do we have to go through it again at great expense? Every dollar is going to be coming out of the classroom of their parents.
Anything that the board could do at that level would be much appreciated.
Thank you. We'll do our best.
So perhaps we should convene an ad hoc committee. The Aliso Viejo committee would get together on this and with Mr. Lebs and Brockman. Hopefully in the next 2 weeks. Is that possible, do you think? Who is on the Aliso Viejo committee? Could be me also, I don't know. All right, are we holding this item over?
I would move to hold it over on behalf of...
For 1 month?
It's up to the board.
1 month.
Do we have a second to hold it over?
I'll second.
I have a question.
Mr. Winston.
How do we know the city's going to accept this negative declaration? We really don't.
You don't. It's at the city's discretion. After we go through it, they will review it to determine whether or not they accept the findings and then issue the necessary...
Before we spend $25,000, why don't we see if Trustee Maddox and...
might be worth a try.
Another member of the ad hoc committee can have a conversation with the city over there and see if we can avoid that.
That's fine. So we have a motion. We have a motion to hold the item over for one meeting with a second by Trustee Lopez Maddox. Any further discussion? All in favor to hold it over?
Aye.
I beg your pardon. I beg your pardon. We need to do a roll call when we have a member on the phone. Thank you.
Trustee Brick?
Aye.
Trustee Bryson?
Aye.
Trustee Palazzo?
Aye.
Trustee Christensen?
Aye.
Trustee Maddox?
Aye.
Trustee Winston?
Aye.
Trustee Adonisi?
Aye. The item is held over for one meeting, and in the interim, the ad hoc committee will get together. That concludes our consent portion. We move now to our discussion action portion. At this point, we have made a few rearrangements here, so it's not going in exactly the same order as was originally posted. So if each person would choose and pull item 22, public hearing, categorical flexibility transfers. Item 22. So we are on item 22, categorical flexibility transfers. This is a public hearing, and we do have blue cards. President Adonisio declares the public hearing is now open regarding the approval of categorical flexibility transfers. I ask now if there's anyone who wishes to address the board. I do have blue cards. Each person has 1 minute. Sandy Zimmer, please, and Pam Adams.
Hi, trustees. I'm Sandy Zimmer, Elisa Nagel High School. We want to implore, again, to save Black music. We see it on here as an agenda item that could be pulled or considered for reduced funding under general funds. I don't really understand how these work, but it's under the grant transferred from. And we cannot express our concern and our sorrow if this item gets pulled. Elementary school is a key contributing factor to the excellent music we have experienced in this district for many years. We have had award-winning music programs, and we do not want to see them diminished. We also do not want to see our credentialed music instructors leave this district, which we already have experienced and are going to again. Please consider, we want to keep Michael Corrigan in music. Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Pam Adams.
Hello, my name is Pam Adams, and I'm here to implore you to do the right thing by saving the Block Music Program tonight. I'm here as the mother of a promising young senior who would very likely be floundering and unhappy if he had not had the opportunity to pick up an instrument in elementary school. I'm here as a parent volunteer who has been astounded and encouraged by the quality of the students in the music program. I'm here as a teacher myself who has taught for over 25 years, many of those years spent in first grade. I've had classes of 20 to 1 and I've had classes of 30 to 1. And I've seen students who still learned and flourished in both cases. Most districts are looking, that's true. I'm serious. Most districts are looking at compromising with 24 to 26 students. Why aren't we? I'm here as a community member who is greatly saddened to watch the district lose many superb teachers due to the time-stalling tactics of this board. And I'm here to implore you to do the right thing by saving Block Music tonight. So now you know why I'm here. My question is, why are you here?
Thank you. We ask you to remain quiet so the meeting can continue.
Trustee Adonisio, I'm asking that the signs in the back be held down. They're bringing them up and down, the ones in this, and I believe that's a board policy that we have about signs.
It is. I don't see them, but if you could just hold them down at shoulder level, that would be fine. Thank you, because people behind you can't see. Thank you. Those are the only items that we had for item number 22. We do have other music speakers. They are listed under 21, so we'll take this for item number 22. The public hearing is now closed. On item number 22, we now have board comments or staff comments. Mr. Lebs, did you have any comments? It was available for comments or questions. Do we have a motion to approve?
I so move.
I'll second.
I'd like to make a comment, Madam President.
Yes.
And I apologize for kind of delaying because I'm really wrestling with the best way to articulate this because I'm was thinking I'd gave you some self-disclosure. I just think I'm going to pass on that portion of it. But let me just say that the two speakers that raised the issue about the Block Music program, I'm of the belief that if we don't retain Block Music at the lower levels, it's going to severely impact our music programs at the higher levels.
Yeah.
And I'm going to break it down to try to personalize it with somebody other than me. There's going to be parents in this district that can afford private lessons for their kids no matter what we do. And that's just the way of the world. Anything that we do, there's always going to be those persons that can pick up the tab on their own and provide those same opportunities for their kids. But those opportunities aren't shared by everybody that we serve in this district. I know there's a little girl that walks past my apartment, and I see her violin case with duct tape on it and those bands you use to tie stuff down, bungee cords wrapped around her violin case. I don't think that same little girl is going to have the ability to take violin lessons should we eviscerate the music program. So, in its current form, I'm going to be voting no.
Trustee Adonisio.
Trustee Palazzo.
This item is not eliminating Block Music. That is what you're not understanding. This is not eliminating Block Music. Block Music is in our budget. This is just using the money that was designated that you could only use for something to be put into the general fund. The music program is still in our budget, and I think that we as a board need to understand that portion. Thank you.
Any further comments?
I would just like to
turn your microphone on.
Thank you. I would just like to say that what Mrs. Palazzo said is true. What this resolution basically does is give flexibility to the district to support a variety of programs via a variety of programs.
And point well taken. However, I don't want to provide that flexibility because of where I might go in the future.
That's different. Okay. Any further comments? Roll call, please.
Trustee Brick.
Aye.
Trustee Bryson.
Aye.
Trustee Palazzo.
Aye.
Trustee Christensen.
Aye.
Trustee Lopez Maddox. Trustee Winston.
Aye.
Trustee Adonisio.
Aye. The motion passes 6-1. For categorical flexibility transfers, item number 22. At this time, we move to item number 24. Reinstatement of program services. If we turn to page 221 for item number 24. Reinstatement of Program Services Classified Personnel. Ms. Suwanaka. Do we have any questions, comments for Ms. Suwanaka? Do we have a motion to reinstate Program Services for Classified Personnel?
I second.
Motion by Trustee Bryson, second by Trustee Palazzo, to reinstate program services for classified personnel. Further discussion? There being none, roll call, please.
Trustee Bryson?
Aye.
Trustee Brick?
Aye.
Trustee Palazzo?
Aye.
Trustee Christensen?
Aye.
Trustee Lopez Maddox?
Aye.
Trustee Winston?
Aye.
Trustee Adonisio?
Aye. The motion passes 7-0 for reinstatement of program services classified personnel. We move on now to item number 25. If we would turn to item number 25, reinstatement of program services non-management personnel. Reinstatement of program services certificated non-management personnel. Ms. Suwanaka. One moment, let me see if I have any cards. Excuse me. We do have some blue cards on item number 25. They appear, okay. If you would come forward, 1 minute each, please, to the podium and address the board. Steve Sentman, followed by Sally Graves, Heidi Reiser, Jason Harney, and Gail Carnahan. Mr. Sentman.
Good evening, board. I just want to take a moment of your time and, more importantly, thank the teachers that are here tonight. I want to bring up three topics related to classroom size reduction, priorities, accountability, and action. I am a parent and have two children at Ladera Ranch Elementary and Middle School, and I'm concerned about their outstanding education that they've been provided thus far. Priorities. Put children first. How is it the Capital Unified School District is only one of the only districts out of 121 school districts considering eliminating current classroom size reduction? This impact will have a devastating long-term effect on our children. The dedicated teachers set the standards for the children that will ensure success of their educational futures. Accountability. As a board, you are responsible for my children, as I am responsible for my children as a parent. Their future and all your decisions that are made are based on the priorities that you set. Is it right that the last day of school for students at Ladera Elementary to see 23 dedicated teachers eliminated when they should be celebrating another successful year of success, but they are crying tears of sadness?
Thank you. Thank you. Sally Graves.
President Adonisio, Dr. Mailer, and trustees, my name is Sally Graves, and I am a parent of two CSD graduates. They both have received college degrees, with one continuing on to get her master's degree, all with that CSR. Isn't that amazing? Mr. Winston, at the last meeting you said you were in the business to educate, not employ. Were you talking about educating students in grades K through 3, or were you including grades 4 through 12? It seems you were talking about grades K through 3. Are you aware there are only 15,705 students in K through 3, while there's over 36,500 students in grades 4 through 12. What about those 36,000 students? For the past 4 to 5 years, grades 4 through 12, credentialed staff and classified employees have suffered at the hands of CSR. I, for one, am tired of it and will no longer sit back and not state my opinion. You stated that you want everyone to take a 10% cut. An editorial in the LA Times written by a teacher said that if a teacher is a good teacher, the number of students in a class doesn't make a difference. It is the teacher. You can keep a form of CSR, but you must increase class size. Saddleback, Irvine, and San Diego Unified are keeping a form of CSR, but even they are increasing class size.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. Heidi Reiser, followed by Jason Harney and Gail Carnahan.
Okay, I practiced all afternoon. I'm Heidi Reiser, and after attending area concerts and honor concerts over the past few years, I know that block music program is well supported and it is well liked by parents throughout the district. Any decision you make tonight about block music will ultimately affect 7,000 fourth and fifth graders next year, and ultimately middle and high school students. It's not just about my eighth grader who doesn't even play the trombone, but he tells me he's going to play the trombone next year in marching band. It's about kids who have been anticipating going into high school and joining the band with award-winning programs. It's not just about my sixth grader who discovered she really enjoys the violin and she actually practices. It's about orchestra students getting a chance to audition and perform at places like Disneyland. Without black music, these sparks at middle school and high school will be totally doused. This is about kids I know who love music. Kids who, outside of school, as Mr. Maddox says, do not have the resources to play, learn, and enjoy music. I see their passion, and it starts out small and unknown, and it is tapped by some amazing black music teacher twice a week at all of our schools for fourth and fifth grade. This program does that amazing things. You have had months to research and debate and understand the impact of eliminating black music and CSR. And just one more thing, those kids need something to look forward to in fourth and fifth grade if they have larger classes in the primary grades. Thanks.
That's a good point. Jason Harney, followed by Gail Carnahan.
Good evening. My name is Jason Harney. I teach vocal music at Elisa Nagel High School. I just wanted to mention regarding the potential reinstatement of the block music that if indeed that goes through, which I understand from Plan B that that is a possibility, that I want to ask because page 226 of that packet is a little vague on the bottom about 4 through 12 teaching positions, various. If you do plan to put the music teachers back onto the district payroll and you wait until August or September, you wait a while when the funds come in, then we'll approve this and reevaluate it. You're going to lose all the programs that everyone's talking about tonight to some extent, because a turnover in a music program is almost like a temporary cut. These are very developed programs that teachers spend 3 or 4 or 5 or 10 years developing. If those teachers don't have a job next year, even if the position's reapproved, they will leave. In fact, some of them already have, just because of the possibility of the pink slip. If you're going to put the program back in, reinstate us tonight. Thank you.
Thank you. Gail Carnahan.
Good evening. I'm Gail Carnahan, and I've been teaching music for 20 years in CUSD, teaching actually 4th and 5th grade block music classes in addition to kindergarten through 3 primary classes of music. And it hasn't really been mentioned about, and it's out there, and we just assume everybody knows the good that music does for the brain and the brain development. And my teaching since the year 2000 is based on brain development research. And I only wanted to just say it very simply, and I'm passionate about this because it's where I come from as well, but music is the only subject that is about sound and allows ideas to be expressed non-verbally, and that was me. And then the bonus is that it encompasses both hemispheres of the brain, so that if you come in this way, you get hot-wired and you come out with both areas of your brain developed. And I made it.
Thank you. That ends our blue cards on these items for number 25, reinstatement of program services. Any comments by or questions by the trustees? Do we have a motion to approve?
I have a question.
Mr. Winston?
The cover memo on this item talks about it being brought forward to ensure compliance with state and federal program mandates and the collective bargaining agreement. Under financial implications, you state that 14.5 of these positions are being funded with state and federal categorical funds, and the rest is coming out of the general fund. Is that a fair read?
Yes, it is.
Okay. Are all of these necessary to comply with legal mandates? Are these unfunded mandates? Is that what we're talking about here?
Some of them are legal mandates. For instance, our special education for the full inclusion. The others are provided by comp ed money, categorical money, and some are provided by grants, as you can see on the second sheet. The two that are provided by general funds, the grades 4 through 12 teachers, it was the intent to raise class size, but that can't be done. The collective bargaining agreement requires that we negotiate that. The last one of general fund are the counselors for the middle and high school. That's to help the students pass the CASE, and also the counselors help students with drug prevention, alcohol, social, and emotional counseling.
Okay, so part of this is to balance Plan B, which became unbalanced.
Yes.
Right. Is any of this the result of the May 19th election results?
No, not these.
That's the prior.
Yes.
I'd like to ask our interim superintendent if these are truly mission-critical items in her estimation or not. Because I've been contacted by lots of constituents who have been offering up an observation that I pretty much share, which is, well, why are we rehiring administrators and not teachers?
Mr. Winston, these are teachers.
These are teachers.
But they're not classroom teachers. So let's clear. What I'm asking for is clarification and explanation. If you're the right person to answer that.
Ms. Suanaka, the contracted teachers, could you talk more about that?
Well, I understand the 4 through 12 issue.
Okay, then I'll talk about the counselors. Earlier this evening, we were engaged in the unhappy activity of needing to expel youngsters. And we needed to expel them because of a variety of issues, some related to alcohol, some related to drugs, some related to psychosociological issues. I believe that as our students go up in years, they encounter more and larger and deeper internal problems. And it's just my personal belief that we have a responsibility in our school systems to serve these youngsters and let them know that there is a place for them and teach them how to maneuver in this world, how to find their way, and how to stay in school. So that's just my personal program. And I forgot, the two ladies I met with today taught me something that I think is wonderful that the adults in this district have been willing to do, and that is the hand jazz, if we agree. And I didn't know if you'd go for it, especially you guys out there. So, but it really helps if instead of applauding, that we can just show that we like it. That we like it.
Thank you. These agenda items are getting increasingly difficult because there's no good decision that can be made that doesn't sacrifice one program or one job category for another or penalize one group of stakeholders who have completely legitimate claims in favor of another group of stakeholders with completely legitimate claims. The economic circumstances and the political stalemate we're facing right now are either giving us one heck of a civics lesson or pushing us into a state of civil war. I'm not really sure where we're going to end up. And the civil war I'm talking about are teachers coming here and telling us to lay off administrators and classified, and parents telling us to lay off administrators, and K through 3 parents and teachers railing against the 4 through 12 parents of teachers, and vice versa. I think we have a civil war going internally in Sacramento. We're all being left unsatisfied with what's going on up there. It's just terrible. I don't know how they can ask us to pass budgets when they can't, and it's really untenable all around. And I think you all understand that, and yet you all have your opinions, and I certainly have mine. The budget we're heading for in the next couple of agenda items is based on an interim budget that I wasn't a big fan of and voted against, and we'll see what I do when we get there. But I've looked at this item real hard, and seems like these are all mission-critical slots that need to be restored, and I'm going to support this one, but it's getting really, really hard to talk about reinstatements. And the problem being that we are still waiting for news from Sacramento on the interim budget. We're still in the negotiating process with the collective bargaining units, and there'll be some news coming out about that probably tomorrow. And nothing's going to get resolved real quick, so it's very difficult to make these decisions now when everything's still moving. And I think that my view of it is we're making decisions now because we have to. The law requires it. Unlike the people in Sacramento, we are trying to discharge our duties in a timely fashion. But it doesn't mean that I, for one, am going to stop advocating and working to make adjustments down the road as other decisions get made. Needed to get that off my chest. Thank you.
Any other comments by the board? Do we have a motion to approve reinstatement of program services for non-management personnel?
I'll second.
Motion by Trustee Lopez Maddox and second by Trustee Palazzo. Shall we have a roll call, please, Ms. Bowes?
Trustee Bryson?
Aye.
Trustee Brick?
Aye.
Trustee Palazzo?
Aye.
Trustee Christensen?
Aye.
Trustee Lopez Maddox?
Aye.
Trustee Winston?
Aye.
Trustee Adonisio?
Aye.
The motion passes 7-0 for reinstatement of non-management certificated personnel. That being item number 25. We move now to item number 26, reinstatement of program services for management personnel. Item number 26. Let's see if I have any blue cards for a second. We do have one blue card. Ms. Sally Graves. Once again, we ask for quiet so that we are able to hear Ms. Graves. Thank you.
My name is Sally Graves. First of all, I'd like to thank you, Ms. Adonisio, for attending our 8th grade awards ceremony on June 10th. We appreciate you taking your time and to participate in our ceremony. Mr. Winston, I'm sorry. At the last meeting, the rescinding of assistant principals at middle schools was to be voted on, but instead was tabled. Please separate the middle school APs from the category they are in when considering the budget. At our middle school, our AP has handled and or investigated over 3,360 discipline issues, of which over 1,100 were directly related to classroom disruptions. How do you suggest we handle these situations next year without an AP? Without our AP, when do you think the teachers will be able to teach? They will be too busy disciplining rather than teaching. Since I have not seen any of you at my middle school during the school day, are you really aware of the importance of APs at middle school? Our AP is invaluable and vital to educating our students. Thank you.
Thank you. Comments by the board. Trustee Winston.
I have an 8th grader, and his middle school principal and AP have done a tremendous job when he and his pals have done things that kind of put them at risk for bad consequences. We're all fully aware of the importance of APs. We all want to have more APs. That's not the issue. That really is not the issue. We love our APs. The issue on this one is bringing back $3.5 million worth of management to handle jobs and weighing that against using that money to keep RIFT teachers. And that's really the issue. I'd like to ask the same question of staff. Have these been really thoroughly vetted? And are they mission critical? Because, again, there's a prevailing sentiment out in the community, shared by many, many who are educators, that we're better off spending this money on classroom teachers than administrators and managers.
Trustee Bryson?
Thank you, Madam Chair. There is one point I agreed with Trustee Winston and in reading and reviewing all the individuals involved and where they work and what they do, it became apparent that at least a minimum of 8 of these are part of, as paragraph 2 states, in order to ensure compliance with state and federal program mandates. And this is to remind you all that we have 2 streams of money that come from the federal government, which we cannot touch, which are mandated to be used in only 2 directions. One direction is special ed, and 8 of these people are part of the compliance for special ed federal requirements. The other is a stream that goes to EL. So these 2 streams we have no authority and cannot legally touch, and we have to keep our compliance so that we are straight with the federal government, and actually the state government also has some requirements. So on some of these, we really do not have any option. And so we have to be mindful of that. Every single person you hear about is not an option. There are federal and state locks on a lot of these people.
Trustee Bryce, Trustee Palazzo?
My understanding is that these management positions, that these persons that hold these positions have bumping rights back to the school. Is that correct? And so that when we bring this position back to the administration, a teacher is going to have a pink slip rescinded. Is that correct?
That's correct.
So for these management positions, we are also bringing back a teacher.
Correct.
Thank you.
Superintendent Mahler?
I would like to address Mr. Winston. I think he was putting me in the hot seat again.
So, I think you signed up for that and volunteered. But yes, we're looking for some leadership and guidance and insight from you.
You are a much smoother talker during the interview.
Touché.
I don't even know how I got this button. At this point, I don't even know who put this button out. It says, because I can't, I'm being tested for mono visual. It says who will do the work, and I think it's a product of CSCA. And I guess that there's a message in this for all of us. There is no one more important kind of employee in any organization. It takes all of us to do the work. Disciplinary issues are tough issues, not because they just met out discipline, but they're supposed to be instructional in nature. I would hope that your son and his friends, that they're not just being disciplined, that they're not being punished, but they're being taught. I view superintendents and assistant principals and principals and the teachers in the classroom and the fine classified people working at our schools, I consider all of them teachers. And with that having been said, I feel that assistant principals at the middle school level are an imperative member of the instructional team. I will say that I am inclined to look at student-to-assistant principal ratios in the district. I am inclined to look at why an elementary school with 1,000 students would not have an assistant principal, but somewhere else there may be an overage of assistant principals. So that is something that I will be looking into. So that's the good news and the interesting news.
Thank you. Any other comments?
I have another question.
Trustee Winston.
The cover memo on this agenda item mentions that staff has been working with School Services of California and is in the process of finalizing a reorganization plan with School Services. Can we hear what that's all about and when we're going to see that and what it will include?
Yes, sir. That is something that we have been working on for the past several months. It runs across all divisions. What started out as a challenge to take a look at our categorical funding and the functions that we were using to use the categorical funds to cover, to ensure that we were using the categorical funds in the most efficient way to free up general fund dollars, ended up kind of expanding along the way, and as we realized that we had spread function across a variety of positions. And so School Services has issued a preliminary recommendation on how we might kind of restructure primarily ed services within the organization, and we were not able to complete that and bring it forward. Now that we have a superintendent on board, I think it's appropriate for her to take a look at that. We will be meeting with School Services actually tomorrow to review their initial draft recommendation and to review that, go over it, and try to bring that forward within the next few weeks. Dr. Mahler may want to address that a little further.
Okay. I think you did a fine job. It's a lot of these positions were put specifically on a RIF and rescind schedule so that we could reorganize the district office.
Will this report from School Services impact what you're asking us to examine on this agenda?
I think the ultimate result of the School Services report would only serve to help improve our bottom line as we take a look at reorganization. If you recall, the reason that we decided to RIF all of the certificated management at the district office was to provide the flexibility in a reorganization process. A lot of water has gone under the bridge in the budget process over the last several months since we did issue these. But I would anticipate that as we bring that to conclusion, that there would probably be some additional savings that would come out of that reorganization and evaluation. And there's a number of positions that are not included in being brought back here that will be put into that mix with that recommendation.
The assistant principals directly touch children. That wasn't where we were looking. And I apologize to you young adults, students, not all children. But it was the purpose of the assistant principals is to have high touch with kids and to guide them. The reorganization is to level the playing field, so to speak, to reorganize the district office and to have less costs at the district office.
One last comment. I understand that restoring these positions will mean someone else comes off the RIF list, but it's not going to squish down class size of 12, 11, 10, 3, 2, or 1, that's for sure, right? I think that's the debate that's going on in the community, and that's what I'm hearing a lot about is
as I am too.
That push-pull.
Right.
Yeah.
And I don't, boy, this is, I said it's getting harder, and it really is. And, you know, one of these position talks about supervising autism programs for 780 kids.
The board has an untenable task.
I'd like to hear from some of my other colleagues about this.
If I may interject.
Deputy Superintendent Suwanaka?
If I could just provide a little additional information before you speak or have any other opinions. These positions are funded by funds that cannot be used in any other way. The other issue that I wanted to point out is many of these positions actually generate money for the district. For instance, if you look at the Director 6 Instructional Support, in 08-09, $1.5 million was granted from literacy grants, literacy and science. If you look at the Director 4 Pupil Services, this was tremendous. This position reversed a trend of losing money. We were at one point losing over $1 million with inter-district permits. This year, there is a net gain of $326,000 plus. Additionally, if you look at the Director 4 Preschool Special Education Programs, again, they receive grants anywhere from $50,000 to $100,000, and during the last 3 years, they've reduced the contract services by over $500,000. So they have also generated money for us. The other positions have the Coordinator Community Education is a self-funding program because it's on a fee basis. The Coordinator of Special Ed, these people keep us in compliance, and that's very critical that we're not penalized for being out of compliance, especially in the area of special education.
Thank you, Ms. Suwanaka. That was a good explanation.
Anyone else? Any comments?
Perhaps a question.
Trustee Maddox?
If I understood Trustee Winston correctly, his primary concern with respect to these different positions centered around the AP, those 15 and a half full-time equivalents on the APs. The other ones weren't as deep a concern given the funding sources and the legal requirements. Is there any problem with dividing the question?
Okay. You're moving to divide the question?
Towards what end?
Taking the AP positions as a separate vote. If it would raise your comfort level on the other positions.
Oh, I'm really not that troubled that much by the AP positions, so I apologize if I gave that off. I'm really troubled by the overall situation, but I can't say that these middle school APs are any less valuable, or any less valuable than our second grade and first grade and 11th grade teachers. That's clear. They're very valuable.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Do we have a motion to approve?
I so move.
Motion to approve item number 26, reinstatement of program services for management personnel by Trustee Palazzo, seconded by Trustee Bryson. There being no further comment, roll call please. Thank you.
Trustee Bryson?
Aye.
Trustee Brick?
Aye.
Trustee Palazzo?
Aye.
Trustee Christensen?
Aye.
Trustee Lopez Maddox?
Aye.
Trustee Winston?
Aye.
Trustee Adonisio?
Aye. The motion passes 7-0. Item number 26, reinstatement of program services for management personnel. We move now to item number 21. Item number 21, which is a public hearing. We do have blue cards.
Okay.
have a script. President Adonisio declares the public hearing is now open regarding the approval of the final budget for 09-10. And I ask now if there's anyone wishing to address the board. There are many wishing to address the board. I have your comments and your blue cards here. If you would step forward when your name is called, or you know, get in line so that you're able to speak. Each person has one minute. We do have block music in here as well, so they have been scattered around. And so I call our constituents forward now. First, Mr. George Lawton, followed by Shauna Ellis and Catherine Cross.
Good evening. Thanks for letting me address you. I have had two kids in the Capistrano Unified School District, my daughter Hannah, who is now a senior at Dana Hills High School, and my son Julian just graduated from Dana Hills. He got a very wonderful musical education from Mr. Wade. There, I understand Mr. Wade has been given a pink slip, but the main issue I wanted to address now is that music is a fundamental part of a good education. It's not a frill. It's something that many children without bad music education that have nothing else at school that captured their imagination, made them want to go to school every day and work hard. And if we gut music in 4 and 5, the block music, it will destroy the feeders, the kids that feed into the rest of the program in the entire district. It will destroy the high school program. It will destroy the junior high program. And we just can't do it. We can't do it. We need it for our kids. Thank you.
Thank you. Shauna Ellis, followed by Catherine Cross and John Melissa.
I'm Shauna Ellis. Capital's elementary music provides for contractual release time with quality instructional minutes at a very affordable price. One teacher for 450 students. Only 18 teachers teach 8,000 students. It touches every single fourth and fifth grader in the district. And it's gone on to make a difference in the lives of virtually every middle and high school student in CUST. We have one of the finest music staffs, K through 12 here, and have made the monetary investment in the musical instruments and other equipment that's needed to run this successful program district-wide. We just cannot abandon this. All of our neighboring districts facing these same difficult decisions have decided that music cannot be thrown away and will maintain their music programs across the board. You originally made that same decision. Please retain elementary music in the budget and rescind the 18 layoffs.
Thank you. Catherine Cross, followed by John Melissa and Nicole Melissa.
Good evening, board. If this board recalls, back when you were conducting budget workshops, you were looking for input from the community on suggestions for what we can do about this crisis. Here's a couple I have for you. We need to visit local businesses and drum up support. I made a phone call this morning. I spoke to Mr. Roger Hogan, who is the owner of Capistrano Toyota. And yes, he gave me permission to use his name tonight. He wants to support the district. He wants to hear from the parents. He has gone so far as willing to offer a car for raffle. Details to be discussed later. But this is just one phone call. One person, one business who doesn't like what's happening here and has offered to support our district. What do you think about that? One phone call. I think it's reasonable in the reality that we're facing that we look at fundraising at the elementary level. I mean, come on, high school's doing car washes. Elementary school can do bake sales and car washes. I mean, there are things we can do, and it may be just a drop in the bucket, but it's a drop in the bucket, and we have a lot of buckets to fill.
Thank you. John Melissa, followed by Nicole Melissa and Julie Collier.
So you need to cut the budget, and we all get that. But what we're asking you to do is do it in a smart way, in a way that causes the least amount of damage and can be undone sometime in the future if possible. The block music program is not the good choice here. $1 million that would be saved by eliminating block music would eliminate that program for over 8,000 students. Plus what it does to the middle and high schools is take away their quality teachers to be replaced with somebody else and hurts them as well. The block music program also facilitates the contractual release for fourth and fifth grade teachers. And just a few benefits, musical training helps the brain areas involved in language and reasoning. It improves the scores on SAT, and the students who do music get higher grades. It helps them stretch their inner resources and develop excellence as a group. Music students learn the value of sustained effort and to learn excellence in concrete works of hard works. Do the right thing.
Thank you.
Save block music.
Thank you. Nicole Melissa, followed by Julie Collier and Laura McDermott.
First of all, I'd like to just share a personal experience with you, which is not subject to disagreement by its own nature, that it's my personal experience. I'm a UC Berkeley graduate. I've learned more in 700-person classes than I have in 15-person classes, and that's literally the truth, my true experience. Second, moving on, as we face this budget discussion, we evaluate what we value most, what use of our money will provide the greatest benefit to our kids. I spoke before on music's unique connection with love, self-expression, belief, and joy. These are our essential human values, which children can thankfully express through singing and playing the instrument of their choice. The 18 men and women who teach block music have the most important jobs in our district, in my opinion. They bring these values to kids at a very young age when they need to learn them the most. And there's nothing more beautiful than attending an area concert when these kids come together and share these values through their musical expression.
Thank you. Julie Collier, followed by Laura McDermott and Fabrizio Ferrari.
Elementary classrooms are not what they were 30, 20, 10, or even 5 years ago. Adults cannot compare their past experience to the elementary classrooms of today. The standards are much higher with increased testing and an unprecedented richness and diversity in learning disabilities. The learning is at a much faster rate with little room to go backwards if students get lost. The current high school and junior high students have already had the benefit of CSR. It might be easy for a parent or a teacher of older children to think these students would have been just fine without CSR, but lucky for you and your children, you will never know. Our current and future elementary students need CSR and support from the community. Someone please make a motion tonight to support CSR.
Laura McDermott, followed by Fabrizio Ferrari and Katie Calkins.
Hello, my name is Laura McDermott. I'm a parent of 4 students in this district. I'm here in support of keeping elementary music for our 4th and 5th grade students. There are numerous scientifically proven educational and financial benefits to keeping the elementary music program. Elementary music is in jeopardy of being cut entirely, affecting approximately 14,500 students within the district. Parents are hearing that this cut is being made to reinstate class size reduction in 1 grade at elementary school level, affecting 3,600 students. The business decision then is to determine the best use of funding. If you look at the goals and strategies for the school district, the first one clearly supports the need for music education in states. All students will demonstrate competency in challenging subject matter, including language arts, mathematics, science, social science, and the arts. I'm not discounting CSR because I understand the difficult decision you have ahead of you tonight, but your job is to do what's best for all students in the district. Let's create a district in which people want to put their children. Let's focus on restoring the faith in the school district by keeping the elementary music program.
Thank you. We ask that please maintain silence so we can hear. Thank you.
Good evening. My name is Fabrizio Ferrari. I'm a parent, and my daughter Sophia has just concluded the first grade in Georgia White Elementary School, and I'm here tonight to support music again because I'm myself a classical professional musician, and I can appreciate what music actually teach to everybody. And I heard from you that music will not be dropped, which is, I'm glad about that. But I trust you for the fact that you are going to watch after it, and that to be sure that actually will be protected, because it's not only a matter of learning an instrument, but it's a social teaching, which is very important. Thank you.
Thank you. Katie Calkins, followed by Molly Busnett Busick and Pam Adams.
We have been asked to accept in good faith that all options for the restoration of CSR have been explored and that there is simply no money to fund it. As a parent, it's devastating to be told that the only hope for my child's educational well-being is the financial downfall of her teachers. I believe that educational excellence will come when we advocate for the sacred relationship between teacher and child. I implore the district and union, please bargain fairly and respectfully on behalf of both. We are looking for a win-win here. Should funds become available through bargaining and perhaps new state legislation, I ask the district and board to keep their word, perhaps offered in campaign promises or phone calls and emails to hopeful constituents, to do all they can to restore CSR to our district.
Thank you. Paula Busick, followed by Pam Adams, Sandy Zimmer, and Jennifer Baker.
Paula Busick ceding the podium to John Forsythe.
Good evening. I'm John Forsythe. I'm president of the Pacific Symphony. And first, I want to just say Capistrano Valley has an incredible reputation for music. The programs of this quality take a generation to develop. And there's not only momentum here, but there is a psychology of excellence which builds over time. Dismantle them, and you'll find it extremely difficult to restore them. As you may know, the Pacific Symphony leads the nation's orchestras in music education. We've invested millions of dollars in this district. And we have a strong partnership with you and have served probably thousands of students at this point. We care about the district and we understand the economic pressures we're facing it too. We do not support cuts in music programs and personnel. Study after study demonstrates the importance of music to brain development, socialization, and success in school. It is indeed an essential component of a quality education. The perception of music as an extracurricular activity is deeply flawed. We know that it demands a kind of intellectual commitment that reinforces the excellence in learning we all aspire to reinforce. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Pam Adams, followed by Sandy Zimmer and Jennifer Baker.
Hello, I'm Pam Adams. Thank you for the opportunity to speak again. I would actually like to see if I can address a few of the issues that have been raised since I was up here 30 minutes ago or whatever it was. First, I want to mention that the point has been brought up that many of the students, maybe not all, but a number of our students in our districts will have the opportunities for private lessons and that music could be continued. I want to emphasize that we're not just talking about a skill lesson. We're talking about a full experience. The primary music is block music is the foundation for the middle school and high school program, and the program encompasses so much more than just the ability to play the instrument. That those are experiences that no private lesson can offer. The concerts, the competitions, the tournaments, all of that is critical and so valuable for these students. The students that we see are just the brightest kids well, they're not kids, they're young adults and they're going to lead our future. Please don't take that away from them. So,
thank you. Sandy Zimmer, followed by Jennifer Baker.
Thank you again. I just want to reemphasize the block music program, what it's done with my son. I have to tell you, he was a CD student in elementary school until music came into his life. He does not like school as an educational format. He thinks we're not going the right direction. But he loves music. He is currently in the Pacific Crest Youth Arts Organization, which is a drum and bugle corps they have to audition for, and will be traveling across the United States this summer. That's what's music done for my son. There's credentials, and all I can emphasize is we want our director back. We already lost one. Please, please give us Michael Corrigan. He is the best thing that's ever happened to Capistrano Unified School District. We want him back. Thank you.
Thank you. Jennifer Baker.
Thank you for letting me speak. There have been so many important points made tonight, and I think the one that I'd like to make now, without repeating some of the excellent speakers, is to remind you that even though the block music program is experiencing this elimination possibility, it's teachers at other grade levels that will go as a result of the RIFs. Because of the RIF notices are sent on seniority, even though the fourth and fifth grade music program is on the cut list, 4 out of 6 high school choir teachers, 6 of 8 high school band teachers, and three of six high school orchestra teachers are at risk of losing their jobs. That's countless students facing losing their directors and their established music programs as a result of the cut. It really will have a deep and devastating impact on our entire district music program if we cut Block Music.
Thank you. Believe it or not, that ends our blue cards on item number 21. Do we have any trustee comment? Trustee Bryson? Oh, I beg your pardon. We conclude our blue card speakers, and the public hearing is now closed. Board comments. Trustee Bryson? One moment, Trustee Bryson. I'd like to recognize Dr. Mahler, if I could. Dr. Mahler.
Thank you. I asked to be recognized at this particular point. Nobody in this district is a number. Not a single child. And not a single teacher. I have received heartbreaking emails, booklets, pictures of children with their teachers. And this board has been working diligently with me, with Ron Lebs, with Cabinet, to find ways to make our district viable for the future financially, able to make payroll in July and August when we don't know what Sacramento is going to do. And they have worked in order to provide all of the programs which the individuals in this room feel are imperative to a fine education for their children without letting our teachers go. We have looked for a small win, any kind of a win we could find. We cannot give it to you at this moment. I was charged to work with staff to see what could be. If we pass the budget as it currently is, we will be able to get a loan, which will enable us to make payroll for all of the people who are on 12-month or 10-month pay scales without worrying about what the governor and the legislature will do. So I apologize to you. I apologize to you, board members. I couldn't find it, not right now. But what is our responsibility, all of us, if we still can't find it a month from now? We are going to have to address another budget in July or August. Our responsibility is to find ways to personalize the education of our young children, to find ways to mitigate
the fact that there will be larger numbers in their classrooms. Yes, I believe in class size reduction. I believe in it because it provides the personalization that children need and that children thrive upon. And we have very talented, wonderful teachers who have been doing that. And we will continue to have those wonderful, fine teachers who will knock their socks off to do it. Class size reduction spans grades kindergarten through grade 12. We currently, in our school district, and I'm sure our trustees are aware when they talk about class size loads being less, class size student to teacher ratios being less, that we are talking about all the children in the school district. Currently in grades 4 and 5, I can't remember about 6, excuse me, we are running up to 37 children per classroom. Without our APs, and that is not unusual in this district, we have to realize that as our children have lower class sizes in the early primary grades, it causes us to increase the sizes in the grades beyond. As I was talking to a couple moms today who I have a great regard for, and I'm looking forward to working with them very closely in the future, would we rather be in a position of helping our second graders with difficult mathematics and reading skills that they find difficult? Or would we rather be in the position of having to help our children in high school with calculus, advanced science, and so on? All of you sitting here did not have class size reduction in your, except maybe some young people over in this area. Somehow, your folks, your neighborhood, your greater community, and working with your schools, your family, somehow helped you receive that education that they desired for you. I don't say we shouldn't have it. I say we should have class size reduction, especially for first graders. They are the critical point for lower class size. We will continue to work to find some kind of soft landing for these children. But it will take more time, more assessment. And this current budget that we're asking the board to approve does not include it. I am sorry.
Trustee Bryson. I listened with care, concurring with our interim superintendent, who spoke very eloquently what a lot of us feel. But I also listened to some of the individuals who came up to speak. And I would like to address some of the things that were stated in my way, which perhaps will support some of the things that Superintendent Mahler is saying. There was one lady, I regret I did not catch the name of these individuals, although they are vivid in my mind, who stated that all students are important, which I certainly agree with that statement, and she was concerned about the 36,000 other students who might not be included in small classes in first, second, or K1 and 2. And then there was a young lady who talked about in Berkeley, she'd been in classes with 700 and learned as much as 15. And then you're going to have to wait until you see where I'm going. You can't make an assumption because I haven't arrived at my conclusion, okay? Then there was a lady who was talking about the children again and CSR again in the grander scheme of things. And we've all had inundation of phone calls. We understand that the constituents really want to keep that. The volume has been enormous. And I certainly have heard you, although we are in a terrible bind. And the bind is not going to end anytime soon. I wish I could tell you something different. But there is one thing that Superintendent Mahler brought up, which I noted in these comments by constituents who are very deeply concerned, and with reason. And that is that the 36,000 that she mentioned and the 700 that she mentioned early in life learned to read and write. And where does that start? The critical years for that, research has shown, I went back, I inquired, and I looked. The critical years, by every standard of research that I could find, is K1 and 2. These are critical years. I asked other boards what they were doing, and I believe the lady who spoke so eloquently about her concerns and the other students mentioned, and rightly so, what other districts were doing. And following her thought, at the same time, perhaps, I spoke to a member of the Irvine board, and these are the numbers she gave me. For first grade, they are increasing by 2. For second grade, they are increasing by 3 per class. For third grade, they are increasing by 5. And the statement was made to me with as much regret as each of us feels here, and I personally very much regret, that she feared it was not going to be the end of their increasing. Because even one of the wealthiest, most endowed districts is having to deal with the same issue. And everyone in every district is dealing with it with a lot of regret. If we can fight to retain one portion, and I know I've said this to Ron, and perhaps after looking at the research, where does it impact the most? I personally feel that those earliest grades are critical, even to those who love music. And the reason being, if they want to read about great musicians, if they want to follow the work, they're going to have to be able to read and write with some skill. And if there's any place where I personally would like to draw a line and do everything I could to help find any other pockets of money, anything else, I don't really know if we're able to do it. Superintendent Mahler has seen a lot of budgets. She has seen a lot of problems and has dealt with them. And this is, we do have to make our payroll, as she stated, very, very vividly. We cannot let the system collapse. And please remember something else, which people tend to forget. A budget is not anything but an ongoing working model in transition. It is not the final word in anything. And I hope, I will certainly hope, that I will be able to strongly voice the opinions of all of those who have spoken to me personally and called and emailed. I regret I couldn't respond to all of them, but I hope that you hear my response now. If there's a place to draw the line, if there's a place to stand firm when it comes to CSR, it is, in my opinion, in those early years, and I will do everything I can to help you find what we need.
Trustee Brick.
I concur with Trustee Bryson's comments that conditions are only going to get worse, and we need to take, I think, a stand. Collectively, the board, this, most of you as well, have done everything humanly possible to, you know, keep the cuts away from the classroom, because that's what we have to protect. Yeah. One gentleman who spoke a little earlier about 121 different district offices. That was in like Orange County, Los Angeles County, and San Diego. They're looking to see, they're backing down, taking a look, but nevertheless moving forward, trying to maintain what they're looking for. They're also going to go forward and looking at next year and make it perhaps even a 20-1. But the plan, and I think was said earlier, that we need to do some strategic planning. This is an area we need to be moving forward. These children only get one shot at kindergarten, first grade, second grade. Again, I'm speaking to the choir and I understand that. But I think it's critical that we take a stand early on, for which we will not be disappointed.
Trustee Winston.
I'm not sure where that leaves us. I agree with what Trustee Bryson is suggesting, that some compromise version of CSR would be wholly acceptable at this point. And that was what I tried to accomplish in May, and without success. And if anything, the news and the prognosis for the future is only getting dimmer. I appreciate and understand Superintendent Mahler's concern about making payroll, and that's really is important. I hope that that concern will be reciprocated in the tough and serious days ahead as we further engage in our collective bargaining negotiations, that appears to be the last place maybe where some relief may come other than Sacramento. I don't like this budget one bit. I don't like doing away with CSR, and I think we could have made other decisions at the interim budget stage to avoid being where we are right now. I truly think there still is time to come up with a compromise way of retaining some CSR, as many have suggested. We have not asked our non-union employees for much compared to what many of our constituents are suffering. There's room there. There's room elsewhere. I think that the mandate for going forward is to continue working on this, and I would like to see some kind of commitment out of our district, out of this board, to continue looking for ways to work smarter, work harder. And Dr. Mahler has offered that there are other solutions other than CSR to make sure our young get educated. And I'm looking forward to seeing what she comes up with, because I fear CSR is gone. But if it is, then that does not mean that we're going to stop trying very hard to educate each and every CSR child. And it's going to require a lot of a lot more hands-on. Not that some families can get any more hands-on, but it's going to require more of a community effort. And frankly, it's going to require us to challenge our teachers to do better. And we've got these test scores. We hope they continue going up, not down. We'll find out. It's a really unworkable situation, and I know everybody up here is going to vote their conscience on what they think is the best in the long run. Whichever way this vote goes, it's been a difficult fight and a difficult process, and it's going to not get any less difficult. So I, for one, will accept the outcome and move forward, even though I'm fairly certain I won't like it, and I ask you to all continue and work together and support our new superintendent and our staff as they navigate the months ahead. Thank you.
Trustee Bryson.
I think there's one final consideration that arcs over the entire district and settles on the front porch of every single person in this district, whether they have a child or they work here or whatever their affiliation is. And that is a sense of honor, to honor the fact that this is the greatest trust any person can have, is to participate in the education of the future of this country. On this rests all our hopes, not just for today, but for a decade, two decades. And so I am sure that all of the participants, 85% of whom drive or walk home at night, who work here, I am sure that they feel the honor, the privilege, and the necessity, perhaps, to sacrifice for the greater good.
Trustee Bryce. I can answer. Trustee Palazzo.
This is probably one of the hardest nights I've had to endure this past year. Passing a budget that is causing so many to lose their jobs, increasing the class size of our first, second, and third graders is difficult. But that is what I was elected to do, make the extremely difficult decisions in the face of angry insults and passionate, heartfelt pleas. I did not cause this budget crisis, but I was elected to deal with it to the best of my ability. No one can prepare for themselves for this job, but we seven strangers came together to do our best. Our district has a budget of about $500 million annually. From this pot of money, we have to pay for all the resources and service to serve over 50,000 in our care, students in our care. Most of the decision as to how this money is spent is made before it comes to the board, the categorical salaries, benefits, insurance. Just like your household budget, there are some items that you pay for that are out of your control. As a board member, I can only address the information given to me and what I investigate myself, and then make the wisest decision for all 50,000 of our students on how to spend it. I have heard and read countless pleas to keep the 1-2-3 class size reduction because everyone else in the state is doing it, and I appreciate very much the work of the parents that called all the districts in the state. When I sat out there, I would have done the same thing. Exactly the same thing. But sitting up here, I realized there are more questions that needed to be asked. How much money did these other districts start with in their reserves? What programs did those districts have to cut now that our district had already cut? Librarians, ninth grade class size reduction. Do those other districts have 25 or 26 instead of the 38 and 39 that CUSD has in their biology classes? Do they have counselors instead of academic advisors? Do they have less students per advisor, less students per site administrator? The list is endless. CUSD has been making draconian cuts for a decade. You can just look at the archive news articles and board packets. CUSD has constantly increased the 412 class size and dipped into savings for years to keep on the spending pace they were on and cannot continue. Every district is unique, and you can't compare just one issue. CUSD is mortgage poor. We're paying over $1 million a year in mortgage payments for this building, and I'm not talking about the maintenance. For many, including myself, at the start of all of this reserve spending talk was an issue that I didn't fully understand. But simply, all California school districts are required to keep a 2% reserve, which is a savings account. With almost a half a billion dollar budget, that required reserve is approximately $8 million. That is exactly where we are in our reserves, 2%. When you hear those districts that are spending their reserves to preserve a portion, let's say, of CSR, they are using some of their savings. Doing this means they have excess in excess of that 2%. We don't have that option. Next year, that is money they won't have. One district with a very healthy reserve is Fresno Unified. They have an annual budget of $900 million and a reserve of $46 million, or just over 5%. To be as healthy as Fresno, CUSD would have to have a reserve or savings of $25 million. We have $8 million. Unfortunately, our district hasn't prepared for the current economic crisis, and all of our district is going to be impacted by that decision. Our business office has reworked this budget since October. I believe it is the best budget we can do at this point with the money we have. That is all we can do, live within the budget and within our means.
Thank you all for your comments. Thank you, Dr. Mahler. They were all wonderful. Trustee Christensen?
Yes. This budget is no doubt the most difficult decision any of us will probably ever have to make, except for perhaps the looming gloom and doom of next year's budget. That's probably going to be held hostage by the space test that's growing daily, worsening daily. We read about it in the newspapers every day. Agonized over the numbers for several months and have to look at it backwards, forwards, inside out, upside down. The board has considered suggestions presented by the stakeholders from every legal angle, and outside of the negotiated options, we are given the prognosis that the outlook is dire and that this budget is using all the categorical flexibility and one-time temporary exclusion that we can possibly use. And to that point, it makes me fairly uncomfortable that it's something that we have to go that direction. We were told that the state next year, CUSD, may have to come up with another $13 million cut. And I think if anyone that understands finance and the budget and how the state develops its revenue, I think they're going to find that $13 million will be lucky if that's all it is. But we have to, at this point, CSD has to keep the critically historic 2% minimum reserve. The ramification of tonight's decision, either way, will be felt district-wide. We all cringe upon voting. But then the credit mobile, we need to remain solvent. Regardless of tonight's vote, I always try to be an optimist, Pollyanna, if you will. There's still time before school begins to save some of the programs and the personnel that we hold dear. We all know the option that is still unresolved, that is still out there, that can salvage CSR music and hundreds of potentially devastated families during these depression-like times by the layoff. As a community, we need not throw about the mantra, but to ask why any of us entered into the education field in the first place, if not truly for the children. We all need to work long and hard, way beyond tonight's vote, to sacrifice what we can for the future of our children, who will become the future of our nation.
Trustee Bryson?
Just a final note that this district has state-of-the-art and cutting-edge information coming in. Because I work with the treasurer, Ron Lebs has spoken to him, because of the treasurer of Orange County, Chris Street's concern for these issues, these purely financial issues, we are going to spend the full day in Sacramento tomorrow talking to the vice chair of budget, talking to both the heads of both of the education departments, both Glenn Thomas, Jack O'Connell. The treasurer has come up with some concepts that in the future may help to stabilize the financial streams to schools, but they will not be able to be implemented at this moment or in the foreseeable future to resolve this issue. But be assured that every single thing that is possible for staff to know, to work with, to give them the finest and most up-to-date information, they will have, and the superintendent will have, and the rest of the board will have. So we advise a lot of other school districts on the possibilities of borrowing money from school districts. We were working on that today. I'm sorry, from the treasurer's office, not school districts. Excuse me. So this is a concern that is ongoing and continuous, and all the legalities involved with districts borrowing from the treasurer, for example. So just be aware that anything that can be done information-wise to assist will be done and is being done on behalf of this district and many districts.
Any other comments? Trustee Winston?
I think my takeaway from this experience is to try to learn why we're here, and I think there's not much disagreement out there that our state government, the way public education is run, is somewhat broke. A lot of structural reform needs to take place, and the public education funding, the delivery of those funds, needs to be protected from other interests and special interests, and not held hostage and not subject to the vagaries of political infighting, and the whole system is completely out of control. So I urge everybody, especially those interested in education and fixing it going forward, to think real hard and do your research down the road when you vote state, federal, and local, and try to follow what's going on right now in Sacramento, because it's really tragic, and it's our kids who are being affected. That's all I have to say. We need structural reform. Thank you.
Trustee Brick.
Mr. Lebs, can you give the all of us here a little bit of a report on the stimulus? Where are we?
We have taken advantage of all of the flexibility that was allowed within the federal stimulus money and have very liberally applied that into our general fund where we could. So we're assuming that we're going to get as much flexibility as possible out of the money that we've received and that are slated to receive.
Thank you.
Any other comments? Well, in closing, I thank all my colleagues for their eloquent remarks. It's a very sad day for us at CUSD. It's an awful budget. And I think we don't have much choice at this point except to pass it. And I'm looking for a motion to pass the budget.
I so move.
Do we have a second? I'll second it. Roll call, please.
Trustee Brick?
No.
Trustee Bryson?
No.
Trustee Palazzo?
Yes.
Trustee Christensen?
Aye.
Trustee Lopez Maddox?
No.
Trustee Winston?
No.
Trustee Adonisio?
Aye. Okay, so we have a 4-3. This budget does not pass. Thus, employees in the district probably won't be paid in July, but that's okay. So we need to then schedule a meeting for tomorrow to get this budget going. We have to pass a budget by the end of the month to bring to the governor. So we do have to send this, we do have to have a budget passed by the end of the month. So we need to get together tomorrow then to work on this.
Madam Chair, I'm in Sacramento all day. I can't attend, well, and I want to attend.
Okay. We have several days between now and the 30th. We need to schedule now the meetings required to pass a budget. We must have a balanced budget, unless the board is suggesting that we don't hand in a balanced budget and we don't get our bridge financing. Is that what the board is suggesting? Then we need to schedule some meetings, and today's Monday, and we need to start tomorrow, Tuesday. Now, I have to say that staff has been working on this. We all have been working on this for several months. I'm not certain what will change between now and then. I don't like the budget either. So tomorrow, 5:00, be here.
I think.
How about it?
Madam President, I think we need to have everybody present for this next conversation. I'd like to know when Trustee Christensen is back in town. It'd be best if he were here in person.
Well, I will be back in town on Monday.
Okay. We need to take a brief recess, perhaps.
Yes.
One moment.